We're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them He has set the world. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. And thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of God. God's word stands forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the word of God to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. O Lord, we bow before You as needy men and women. We are, Lord, in need of every blessing that You give us. We are in need of Your strength to uphold us. You are the one who keeps our heart beating. You are the one who gives us every breath that we take. You are the one, Lord, who extends grace and mercy to us who do not deserve it, but we deserve judgment. We, Lord, are needy. We need Your mercy every day. We need the ongoing work of Your Spirit to sanctify us and to make us more and more like Christ. We need the comforting work of the Spirit to apply the Word of God to our hearts like a medicinal balm. We need, Lord, Your strength. We are weak and so often wandering. We need, Lord, the convicting work of the Spirit to keep us close to You. And we need, Lord, eyes to see tonight. We pray that You would come and visit us, that You help me to divide Your word, to proclaim it with faithfulness. We ask, Lord, that for each one of us, that You would give us greater joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and for the blessings that we have, that we would be quick to praise and honor and glorify You, to be full of thanksgiving, to be a thankful people. So, Lord, come today and teach us by the power of Your word in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Last week, as we began our look at this particular song of God's servant Hannah, we saw how things have changed so much for her in her life. What a contrast from the last trip that Hannah took with her families during the holidays a few years before. The last time she came to Shiloh, where the tabernacle of the Lord resided, that is where the tent of meeting, where God's people came and offered sacrifices. This was before the establishment of the temple. The last time she came, she was crying. She was discouraged. She was being verbally provoked. She was desperately pouring out her heart and soul before the Lord in such a way that she appeared to be drunk. Eli accused her of being drunk. And then she couldn't eat a thing at the big family dinner and ran out crying. But this time, as she comes, she's singing her heart out. making great praise to the Lord. My heart exalts in the Lord, rejoices in the Lord. Verse 1. So I asked last week, why in the world can Hannah sing now? What's been the change? Why can Hannah sing? Well, the easy answer, as we looked at last week, is that God answered her prayer and gave her a son. The barren woman now has a child. What's so vital here to understand, a critical part of the story, is that Hannah's desire for a son isn't just because she wants to have a child. Hannah's desire for the son and her vow that to the Lord that he would be a Nazarite, that is a servant of the Lord, is in the context of Israel's spiritual decline, in the context of seriously disappointing condition of Israel in those days. As I mentioned last week, chronologically, 1 Samuel comes after the period of the book of Judges. And the very last line of the book of Judges says, that's the book that's right before Ruth, which is before this book, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And for those who are godly, who love the Lord, this was particularly disturbing. Everyone did what they thought was right. What's right for you, people would say, is right for you. What's right for me is right for me, and don't tell me what I should do. Does that sound familiar to you at all? If it felt right, they did it. They just did as they desired, with no regard for the Word of God and what pleased God. So Hannah's prayer for a son that she would dedicate to the Lord in His service comes not just because she doesn't have a child, she wants a child, but because of the spiritual condition of Israel. And not just the condition of Israel as a whole, but the spiritual condition of the clergy. That is, those who are set apart to serve the Lord and minister to God's people. The spiritual leaders, the priests of the tabernacle at Shiloh. It's no accident that the very next verse, look at verse 12, the very next verse after what we read here, we see young Samuel serving in the house of the Lord. That's verse 12, or verse 11. What does verse 12 say? Now the sons of Eli, the priests, and they were servants, priests in the house of the Lord, they didn't know the Lord. They were worthless men. They were evil. They were wicked. We'll look at them next Sunday night, Lord willing. So her prayer for a son is a prayer for the restoration of spiritual life in Israel. You see, Hannah believed if God gave her a son and she dedicated him to the service of the Lord, that he would be different, that he would be used by God to save Israel from its sins. That is, to turn Israel around, to lead the nation back to the Lord. Which is interesting that this song then parallels Mary's song, the Magnificat of the Gospel of Luke. Hannah's desire for a child in these visits to Shiloh. Hannah's desire for a child is not that she wanted a son for herself, but for God's glory, that he would be one who would become a man of God, a servant whom the people of God would respect. And so Hannah, in a sense, is saying, Lord, here I am, send me. If you grant me a son, he will be yours. He'll be used for your glory. He'll restore your honor. The honor of the name of the Lord. So you notice, as we looked last week in the first couple of verses, her joy is not just for herself. Her joy is in the Lord. He is the one who has brought about this turn of events. He is the one who has heard my prayer. In the Lord, my horn is exalted or lifted high. I mentioned last week the horn refers to the ram's horn or the horn of a wild oxen. It's a symbol of strength. As I said, it'd be like talking about a full rack of antlers in North America. It's a sign of strength and dignity, of power and glory. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. We might say, by God's grace, I can hold my head high. There is no one like the Lord, no one like our rock. You see, Hannah has tasted of the grace of God. She's experiencing the living God, and it's beyond compare. Nothing can compare with the solid foundation of walking with the Lord. There is none like you, no one like our God, no rock like our God. And as we concluded last week, it's so important for those who know the Lord to be a people who are full of praise. To be in the main, not a person who grumbles, complains, and moans. We are those who have been redeemed by grace alone, and we're headed for glory. We should regularly be people who are gathering together to praise the Lord. We should be reminding our children and grandchildren to give praise to God. We should gather together weekly with God's people, because praise puts everything in perspective once again, doesn't it? It reminds us God is on the throne, we are His servants, and in the end, the Lamb wins. Praise the Lord. For Hannah, verse 3, she thinks of those who used to speak proudly. I think she's thinking primarily of Penina, but that's the other woman that's involved in this polygamous marriage. We talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago. Not that the Bible endorses this, but explains this is what was happening in those days as God's people had accepted a practice of marriage, of polygamy that the nations around them practiced. And it was the other woman in this marriage, Penina, who needled and poked and derided Hannah because she was childless. But now she rejoices in the Lord. She rejoices in God's deliverance. The Lord is a God who has blessed me, and He knows. Watch out, verse 3, she says, God sees you. He knows everything. So why did Hannah rejoice in the Lord? Well, firstly, because God had provided her with a son. But secondly, as we continue tonight, because this is the way God works in the world. She's rejoicing because this is God's standard mode of operation. What's happened to her is typical of the Lord. She is rising above her own personal experience to say, this is how God works. He intervenes. This is how God operates. What He did for me, what Jehovah did for me, is characteristic of His ways. I was ready to fall. I was at the end of my rope. I was about to lose it. But He rescued me. The way He's dealt with me is just a sample of how He deals with people. He can lift you up out of the gutter. He can lift you out of the ash heap. He can raise you up to soar like an eagle with life-changing grace. And I would bet there are many here tonight who can testify to that. Who can say, God has had mercy on me. I was a mess. I was a mess. And God had mercy on me. She gives in this song a series of contrasts, verses 4 through 8, to support the statement about why people shouldn't speak so proudly. People who used to speak proudly when they looked at her life. Those who were arrogant and haughty. She says, because the tables can turn on you in a moment. Hannah mentions these symbols of strength and pride. These earthly symbols, the bow, the warrior, the full stomach, the one with many children, the ungratefully wealthy. She says, God can bring you low in an instant. Those who glory in such things, to teach them a lesson. He can break the bow of the warrior. He can turn around their fortune. He can bring the proud to disgrace in a moment. And the same sovereign power, He can lift up the humble, just as He did for her. She says, she who is barren has borne 7 children. Does she have septuplets? What's she saying? Well, 7 is a number of completion. What she's saying now is, my life is complete. God has blessed me. He is the one who has answered my prayer. He brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave. He raises up, meaning He humbles and brings low and He exalts. In fact, He can raise the poor from the dust and seat them with princes and give them a throne of honor, just like He's done for her. She says, even life and death are in God's hands for everyone. So honor Him and watch out. God will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked are not on such firm ground. Watch out. Beware. Look out. Those who are on high and proud and haughty can be brought low overnight. You think about in Scripture how many examples there are of that. Of Pharaoh and King Saul and Manasseh and Nebuchadnezzar, King Herod. Think of Acts chapter 12 where they were speaking about King Herod like he was a god and the Lord struck him dead. Or you think about in our own day how many politicians, sports figures, actors, public heroes have been humbled overnight. Overnight. Think of Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods, the Blade Runner in South Africa, Ray Rice, Donald Sterling, Anthony Weiner, Monty Tails, fake girlfriend, how that just destroyed his career. San Diego Mayor Bob Filmer, mayors of Canadian cities as well. U.S. Representative Trey Radle. God can bring down people in a moment, instantly, by their own foolishness. And if they're not brought down here, they're brought down immediately upon their death because they immediately go into the presence of the king. Hannah was surrounded by blatant wickedness, outright, bold, flagrant sin. But the Lord had mercy on her, and he raised her up. And she said, that's the way God works in the world. Why does she sing, my heart rejoices in the Lord? Because of what God has done for her, and because of the way God works in the world, and thirdly, because of what God will do in the future. Look at verses 9 and 10. There will be a grand finale. That is, there will be a great day of judgment. The ends of the earth will be judged, and God judges perfectly and completely and absolutely. The Lord will come as a king. He will exalt the horn and strength of his anointed. He will gather all the nations before him. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 25. He'll gather all the nations before him, all who have ever lived on the face of the earth. That is the day when God will finally deliver his people. There will be a day of reckoning, which should give us hope, and it should cause those who rebel against God to tremble. There are people who despair because they don't get to see the justice they were hoping for. They see someone who gets off scot-free, who's taken advantage of them, who has taken advantage of them financially or in other ways. And we think about all kinds of wickedness that's happened during the war. How many, I know, I've read so many accounts of Jewish people during World War II who turned into atheists because they never saw the Nazi perpetrators come to judgment and they got off scot-free. Well, Scripture says they may appear to be scot-free, but there will be a day of reckoning. And that should give us hope. Every time God lifts you up and delivers you out of a time of grief, or sorrow, or tribulation, or despair, that's just a taste of the blessing that's to come. It's a foretaste of how God will deliver you. And every time you see someone who's proud and arrogant, who's mocks the Lord, who's brought down, that's just a foretaste of the great day of reckoning that is to come. Hannah knows that God's dealings with her are not only the Lord's expression of love to her, and are not only the way that God works generally in the world, but God's dealings with her are a glimpse of the day when everything will be set right and set in order. The sinful values and foundations upon which so many people place their hopes will be overturned. And in due time, the Messiah will come. The Messiah has been promised. He will make his appearance. He will prevail over all his enemies. Those who oppose him shall be shattered. They'll be broken to pieces. That's the whole theme of Psalm 2, if you ever want to read through Psalm 2 this week. Embrace the Son while there's still time, lest he become angry and crush you. The Anointed One will break on the scene. The strength of the Messiah will be proclaimed around the world. Hannah's song, this Magnificat, points to another song, another glorifying of the Lord, one sung many generations later by Mary. You remember, she sings about a greater son that was born. I want you to see the similarities. Turn, if you have your Bible open, to Luke chapter 1 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and following. This so echoes Hannah's prayer. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and following. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Mary's song of praise is by another woman whose womb God had miraculously opened. It's an interesting theme as well. Another son would be born. And there's wonderful similarities. The first Magnificat, or the first psalm, the Psalm of Hannah, rejoices in the fact that God had given to her a son, that is Samuel, who will set Israel back on the right path, and looks forward to the day, the coming king, who will arrive on the scene and set everything right. The second Magnificat, the second song sung by Mary that Luke writes for us, anticipates the immediate arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save his people from their sins. And interesting, both Mary and Hannah, they see the big picture, and it leads them to praise and to think that their own lives are a part of this grand plan. Mary says, "Who am I? I'm the Lord's maidservant. That he would use me. He has lifted me up and shown mercy on me." That's what the same thing that Hannah. Both of them rejoice that God has counted them to be a part of his plan. That God would use humble sinners, people of low estate, to accomplish his purposes. Sinners rescued by God's grace. And you know, it's the same for you. There's perhaps no greater thrill for the Christian than the infinite God would draw near to you, to a sinner saved by grace, and not only accept you, but use you to carry out his plan in the lives of others. To be a blessing, that God would use you to be a channel of his mercy to those who are still far away. That's why the Apostle Paul says of the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he calls them his joy and his crown. That he has a privilege of being a part of their lives. Now, so many people think, why would God use me? Who, me? Why would God want to use me? What would the Lord do with me? I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody in a crowd of people here in Florida or Canada or wherever you live. Well, you know, Hannah could have said, "I'm just a spare tire." Right? "I'm just an unproductive wife in a dysfunctional family living out in the hill country of Ephraim who can't handle family functions at the holidays. How could God ever use me?" But instead, Hannah came with boldness before the throne of grace. Hannah believed God. She believed that God could do the impossible. She believed that God could even use her to change the course of history. This humble woman of low estate, this unproductive wife in a dysfunctional family. And you think about this too. If it hadn't been for Penina, the other woman in this marriage, if it hadn't been for Penina's evil, unkind, unloving, provoking, would all of this ever come to be? If it hadn't been for the suffering that Hannah went through, If she had just been an ordinarily blessed woman with 2.3 kids and a little picket fence around her house there in the hill country of Ephraim and the quiet life in the mountains, would Samuel have ever had the start that he had? This is the way God works in the world. Hannah's song is meant for you as well. I think if Hannah were here, she would want you singing this song. She would want you rejoicing like this, that this is the way God works in the world. I know this to be true. I stand amazed that God would use me, a nerdy junior high kid from a little corner in Iowa, one who was never picked to be on anybody's team at the sports events, a sinner saved by grace, that God would use me to establish two churches for His glory, me, and to be used to bless people from the Central Plateau of Haiti to the Collier County Jail. If God can pull that off, He can do anything with anybody. If God can take a Hannah, this woman who so miserable, but believed in the promises of God and the power of the King of Kings, He can do anything with anybody. Hannah would say to you, if she were here, pray. Believe God. Turn away from your sin and your self-pity and call on the name of the Lord, because He hears you. And then sing your heart out when He answers you, and exalt the name of His anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. What a great God we serve. Praise the Lord. Who knows what God has planned for you in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Let's look with faith and believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Only through the grace of God in Christ. Let us pray.